everybody, and welcome back to Christmas Clatter. It is October. Started raining today. Hadn't had rain in a while, and I believe it's moving out the last of the summer heat. It kind of wanted to hang on through September, but looking at the extended forecast, fall is here for us. We will be like highs in the 60s and lows in the mid 40s, which is just absolutely perfect. And I can't wait. I just can't wait. I saw one of our local restaurants has an apple butter turkey cheddar sandwich that I think I got to try because it sounds so delicious. But all in for fall. September is behind us. October's here. Last speed bump to Christmas, Halloween at the end of the month. And guys, I hope you're planning Christmas already. I know you guys are extra into Christmas being here with me. Man, it's that time of year where it almost feels like it's slipping away already. I was looking at my calendar the other day, trying to plan some stuff with my mom and Holly, and it was like my days off were already full with different things. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's like it's almost slipping away already. But it's really not. We still have lots of time, but we don't have lots of time to waste. So you guys make sure you're planning that and keep it on top of your Christmas things. So yeah, we, Christmas puzzle exchange will be happening. I will have, be paying attention to the social medias on, Monday. I might have them up Sunday, but Monday for sure. Which is, what is it? The 9th. It's Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day. I will have them. I will have the sign up sheet for that up there on Monday for the Christmas puzzle exchange. For those that are not sure what that is, you just sign up and you buy a new Christmas or winter themed puzzle, and you mail it to somebody else in the country along with a nice Christmas card and a note. And it's a great way to spread a little Christmas cheer, give a little gift, maybe make a new connection with somebody that maybe you wouldn't have before. Here at Christmas Clatter, we love our puzzles, especially around the holidays. They're a great way to unwind and de-stress and, you know, relax. I know that week between Christmas and New Year is one of my favorites because we'll just turn on the classic crooners. You know, we won't have the TV on as much, and we'll just sit there and work a puzzle and just still enjoy the glow of Christmas. But as far as other announcements, I don't really think I have too much other than the puzzle exchange was one thing I was wanting to get to. We got some great guests lined up coming up. This is the launch of weekly episodes. We will be here every Wednesday from now through Christmas. And man, I can't believe it's that time. It just baffles me. It's all of a sudden it's here. But our guest for this episode is no stranger to those that love Christmas podcasts. He's one of the people that I've become really good friends with over the past few years as we've ran some of the same Christmas podcast circles. He and myself make up, 2/3 of the fabled Saturday Morning Mafia, and, all around great guy. I just need to try to do this as the best I can. But, the decade was the 1980s. Cartoons were everywhere, selling in cereal, selling toys on weekday afternoons and Saturday mornings. People were getting Castle Grayskull, changing their lives. Everybody wanted the USS flag, but very few got it. And it was a legendary decade. There were only, 3 questions being asked in the 80s. Who shot JR? And where's the beef? And I forgot the other question I had in my mind. Anyway, enough said. Here is Jerry D from Totally Rad Christmas. Hit it. Jared, I should have wrote that down. I should have took your advice and wrote that down. I had it all prepared and it lost it.
But it makes it so much easier when you do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had it. I was going to end it with, 1980s, when we knew that knowing was half the battle and that was one to grow on.
That's right. Oh, goodness. So,
well, Jerry, thanks for joining me here on Christmas Clatter.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it. I don't have you on here as much as I should, but you're just a hard man, busy man to get a hold of. But
well, especially during this time. So as you can see, I work at a Christmas light store. So this is when we're working 6 days a week. My only off day is on Monday. And this is also when I start releasing 2 episodes a week. And then in December, 3 episodes a week. So it gets pretty hairy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot. For those not familiar with Totally Rad, Jerry's one of the most prolific at releasing episodes. I mean, you've pumped over 200 or close to it out already, haven't you?
Yeah. We're over 200 and I have about 20 ready to go in the can. I still have to edit them, but I mean, recorded and ready to go. So
yeah,
it's been fun.
Yeah. A little behind the curtains. If you record with Jerry, it may be 3 months before you ever hear it.
It's usually true, especially around this time. So I try to get all my recordings done like super early so that I can actually have December off with my family. So I try to get them all recorded before Thanksgiving if I can. And this year I'm being super ambitious and trying to get them all done before Halloween. We'll see what happens, but yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Either way, I get to edit them eventually and they get dropped. So you'll see what happens.
Yeah. As far as the episode totals, you have lapped me going over 200, So, but
it's only because I'm crazy and I release a million in like my busiest season. So when I'm working like 12 days or 12 hour days and I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It was all fake. And it just kind of, I decided to roll with it, but
who needs sleep anyway?
That's right. It's overrated.
Yeah.
I can sleep during the off season.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this, because it's been a while since you've been on Christmas Clatter. So for those that are new, just kind of tell the story of, your inception of Totally Rad and what you wanted to do.
All right. So this is actually all your fault. I never really listened to podcasts. And then as I started selling insurance, I needed something to do with all the driving. So I started listening to How Did This Get Made? And from there, I thought, are there Christmas podcasts? And I found one. It was called Tis the Podcast. Mm-hmm. So I was listened to them for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And I would comment on their different social media. And finally, they had the thing where if you're a Patreon at a certain level, you can get on the show. And at this point, their disdain or the most of their disdain, I should say, for Rankin Bass. And just I think I'd kind of had it up to here. I have strong feelings about Rankin Bass. Uh-huh. So when it was time to do like basically the Avengers of Rankin Bass, Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July, it's where Santa, Frosty, and Rudolph all come together. I said, I have to be on that episode. So I joined him on there, and I guess I did well enough that you actually messaged me and said, that was fun. You should be on your own show. You should have your own show. So I thought about it, and I knew I love Christmas, so it had to be a Christmas podcast, and I knew that I love the 80s. And I wanted to talk like all my favorite toys and everything from the 80s, because that's when Christmas was the most magical to me, because that's when I was a kid. So I thought, what? Let's just mash them together like any good comic book nerd would. And so that's how Totally Rad Christmas came about. And so I think the episode dropped in July or August. And that August, after you messaged me, I had the theme song in my head and I recorded it ready to go. But I never actually did anything until it was the pandemic. And finally, I had some time and I thought, I got to do something so I don't go crazy. And yeah. So I finally released my episode, and you were actually my second guest. You were on episode, technically episode 3, but it's the second full length episode. And we talked about G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. But yeah, because I was on Tiz the podcast like a couple of weeks before you, or a month before you or something. And I had just,
right.
I had just started Christmas Clatter. I was like one episode in or something along those lines. And then,
right.
And of course they don't like anything I pick. So, but that's fine. You know? But, and then I heard you and I was like, man, that guy's way better than I am. He needs to have his own podcast.
Not so, even, no.
But yeah, and then we got together and did G.I. Joe, and it was like, oh man, we are the same person. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we both played. We dug little ditches in the dirt, and we played with our Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes, and we both wanted the flag but never got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, but yeah, that was so much fun, and I might have to toot my own horn here a little bit. I don't have you on Christmas Clatter as much as I like, but I may be your most appeared guest on Totally Rad. I'm not sure, but well, I'm close.
Yeah. So Anthony actually is the most, but you are the winningest. You've won the most Raddies. So
that's
I do
right.
every year. I do an award show, and it's the Totally Rad Christmas Awards or Raddies, and you have the most wins. So,
Yeah, well, 12, but who's keeping track of how many they got?
Nope, not us. Yeah.
Well, I'll have to be on a few more episodes. I need to take Anthony out. Is the most.
Well, he's, and it's easier for him because he doesn't have kids and, you know, so it's, he gets off work at a decent hour, unlike us. And so, so he's able to hop on a lot more last minute, you know, so, he's got, I think at this point it's like 20 something appearances.
Oh,
it's,
my mercy.
I know he's like, at this point he's almost my co-host, but like an unofficial co-host, I guess. But,
yeah. Is that your 20 least listened to episodes? Probably?
Actually, he's on my most listened to, but it's also because it was, with Rick Goldschmidt, the official Rankin Bass historian.
Oh yeah.
And so, that's like my most listened to, but yeah, you're still the most winningest or the winningest. I don't know, whatever you say. So So you can only brag about that.
Yeah. Well, what I need to do is win that, best guest from New York City, award.
I ended up retiring that one after season 2. It was too contentious. I thought I can't do this. This is someone's going to start a fight. So.
Yeah.
Now I started doing themes in the Raddies. So in the first one, spoiler alert, Anthony doesn't actually win any awards on purpose. And then in the second one, I don't even remember what my theme was, but I did a theme for that. And then in the third one, it was a Back to the Future theme. And I already have the Raddies 4 planned out. And so I'm writing the script already. So it's going to be a ton of fun. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. It'll be fun. Yeah. I feel bad because I had the Merry Melee series there for a while. And the last one you hosted for me so I could be in there and fight. So
you could play, right?
Yeah. Against Anthony and, is it Kim from the
from Planning for Christmas?
Yeah, Planning for Christmas. And Anthony won after losing a couple times. He won, legit.
He
won.
Finally won, yeah.
Yeah, he did. He legit won. He had a really great strategy of picking an answer that he knew I would pick so I wouldn't get it.
He totally did.
Yeah, he did. It was awesome. But Tom was on that episode too, and there was a problem with Tom's audio. And when you're balancing, I think like 6 or 7 people's different audio tracks, it's when one of them's squirrely, it's hard to get it right. So I was playing with it. And then I had the idea of just taking Tom completely out and replacing him with the adults from the Peanuts.
Yeah. You should have.
Yeah.
You should still do it. I'd 1,000,000% listen because you actually won a Ratty for that. It was like the best Christmas Melee host or yeah. something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but then since then I switched computers and I'm not 100% sure I got those files still.
I gotcha.
You know, so I could probably dig them up in my time machine or something, but it's like, it's so far gone now and I haven't done the Melee in a while and I've been trying to reimagine the Melee so it's less crosstalk.
Right.
Yeah. Because I think because the last two people were complaining that there was so much crosstalk. And the reason was, is I was getting tired of editing them because what I would do is I'd go in there and I'd eliminate all the crosstalk and spread it all out.
Oh, and, that's rough.
And it, you know, at one time I had like eight people on there. It was like, it took forever.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to reimagine it in a way where, you know, we could do it live and eliminate a lot of the crosstalk. That way people can, you know, hear what people are saying and things.
It could be debate style where like, mm-hmm. like one person, each person has like a minute or 30 seconds and then the next person has like a 10 second rebuttal and, you know, something like that. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. And I actually wrote out my whole intro and it was like, I tried to like really amp it up and I was, you know, like WrestleMania style and, it was just fun.
Yeah. It was, it's something I need to look
Although
into.
Although Anthony still maintains that you haven't released it because you lost, because he beat you.
Well, we'll just let him think that. I mean,
I got
that's more exciting than, the audio files were bad.
That's right. Know? Yeah. Yeah. Let's start some drama.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just stick with that. And, but I do tell people he won and he did win. He legit won. Yeah. So, but, let's talk about the 80s.
All right.
Let's talk about the 80s. Now we said you had over 200 episodes. Mm-hmm. Is there something about Christmas 1980s, anything that you learned since doing Totally Rad that just surprised you?
Well, there was a lot more music that I wasn't aware of. So like everybody knows Last Christmas by Wham. Everybody knows the A Very Special Christmas. You know, of course, Hall & Oates have their Jingle Bell Rock. Huey Lewis had their fan club, you know, Winter Wonderland release. But there's like so much more and it's like really obscure and actually really cool. Joan Jett had, you know, a version of Little Drummer Boy. We had some of the members of Yes. They did their own prog rock Christmas song called Run with the Fox. There's just so much more music. I'm currently have a list of all of the release, or at least the majority that I know of, releases from the 80s. And it's like almost 13 pages long.
Oh, wow.
I break it down by year. It's just, it's ridiculous how much music there was. So that's like my biggest thing that surprised me, because you don't hear a lot of it. You mostly hear stuff from A Very Special Christmas or Do They Know It's Christmas or Last Christmas. You know, that's like pretty much it. If a radio station plays it, you know, terrestrial radio, of course. But there was just mind-blowingly amounts of that. And then, of course, there's a lot of obscure specials that some of them I had vague recollections of, like just an image. There was a show called The Mouse of Mystery and Me. That was a special. And I remember the little mouse. But if you had asked me about it, I wouldn't have been able to name it. So doing all this research, I found like really cool things. The decorations were fun, even though by today's standards are not great, but, but you know, they were just cool. And, there's just a lot of stuff that I didn't realize how much there was. I thought maybe I'd be able to do the show for like 5 years tops. I mean, at this rate, my list keeps growing. I could keep the show going for at least 20 years. I mean, it's ridiculous how much stuff there was just in the 80s.
Yeah. That it is wild, because that's what, you know, I've been on different shows and people are like, why'd you pick Christmas? It's so niche, however you want to say it.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, but have you dug into the subject of Christmas? There's just so much. Like, you can go history, you can go pop culture, you can go, you know, tradition, you can, you know, just stick up with the, you know, the news, what's happening today. And when you get in, you know, when you specify, you know, a decade, and get in there, it's like doing research for one of your shows. I, you know, one of my favorite bands from the 80s was Huey Lewis and the News, which I never knew had any Christmas music. I was like, they never did, but they released a song for people that were in their fan club in the 80s.
In their fan club only.
Yeah. Only. And it's like, I didn't even know it at all. You know, it's like, I just thought they just never recorded anything Christmas.
Right. And you still can't, like, you still can't find it digitally, which is crazy. Like they have so like greatest hits and box sets. Like why just release it for us? I'd buy the heck out of it. You know, right now I have to like just download it from, I just have to get it from YouTube and listen to it that way.
Yeah. So. I hear you. And then also, a lot of people, you know, you might have heard me say this before or not, but if the show Newhart ever streams anywhere.
Oh, that's so good.
Jerry and I are starting a podcast called My Other Brother Daryl. And
we should. And
because we discovered the only Newhart Christmas episode.
Right.
It's so fantastic and so good.
So good. Yeah. So they had one official Christmas episode and one like sort of backdoor Christmas episode, but I wanted to talk more Newhart with you. So I said, what else could we do? There's Thanksgiving. Let's do a Thanksgiving episode. I got to find out if there's a Halloween one so we can do that.
I was going to say maybe there's a Halloween one, but and I'm still so baffled with streaming and all this. Why is Newhart not anywhere in its entirety to be streamed, because I really wanted to start the Other Brother Daryl podcast.
and most of the episodes are on YouTube or Daily Motion, but not all of them.
Right.
So it's, or if they are, they're not in good quality either. So
yeah.
Anybody that's like listening, you know, that's listening to this, that has any kind of dealings with that, please release Newhart. Even if it's on Tubi with commercials, I'd take it.
Yeah. Anything where we can get the whole run, all 9 seasons.
Right.
Such a well-written show. And I remember Holly watching that Christmas special and she was just, best I remember, she was like, that was, you know, she really enjoyed it. And it was just so good. So funny.
It's very well written.
Oh yeah.
It's tight, you know, like not a moment is wasted. All the jokes, while they're, you know, might still be corny by today's standards, they work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so good. Yeah.
What's probably the most absurd 80s Christmas thing you've discovered?
Oh, let's see. Oh, that's hard because the 80s was a decade of absurdity. The Pillow People have a Christmas special. I don't know if you remember Pillow People.
Yeah, I remember
They were a little pillow with like arms and legs and faces kind of, on them. But they have a Christmas special. One thing that I've discovered is that a lot of like the toys, so like Care Bears, Strawberry Shortcake, Barbie, they actually have Christmas albums as well. Cabbage Patch Kids, there's a Christmas album. Yep. And while some of those are actual... They do, and so while some of those are actually like albums, like actual with songs, there's a few that are just stories. The Strawberry Shortcake Christmas album has absolutely nothing to do with Christmas, but it's called the Strawberry Shortcake Christmas album. So that's kind of out there.
Is it Life Day or what? You
know? No, it's like it's just generic winter. They don't even mention the word Christmas in it. They just put Christmas on the title. The cover. I guess
classic 80s move.
There's a lot of action movies, like action and horror movies in the 80s that are all Christmas. So there's Christmas Evil, Silent Night, Deadly Night, and all its sequels. There's a bunch of others. There's a Invasion USA, Night of the Comet, Running Scared, which I just did an episode on, that's going to be releasing this season. Like all these just action movies and at my podcast, Totally Rad Christmas, I take a page out of Christmas Clatter's book. And so as long as it mentions the word Christmas or there's a Santa in the background or anything, I'll cover it on my show. So, Running Scared is absolutely 100% not a Christmas movie, but the climax, there's wreaths in the background, there's Christmas, and there's a giant, it's like a 25-foot tall Christmas tree that is in this building that, you know, of the climax. So I count it, you know, we're going to cover, I did an episode on Karate Kid because in the original, you know, the All Valley Tournament is like December 19th. And so there's Christmas decorations in the background of a scene. So that was my excuse to cover it. And that's admittedly more 80s than Christmas. I just wanted to talk the Karate Kid because I love the Karate Kid. So I'll, doing an episode on Tron. There's a few others, but yeah, there's some wild stuff. And I just could not believe how much has Santa or Christmas or just something in the background, even it's wild.
Yeah. That seems like that's gone away in movies for some reason, you know? But everybody doing Christmas podcasts out there, you're welcome for my standard of what is a Christmas movie, and, you know? But yeah, cause I just messaged you the other day. I was like, hey, me and Holly just watched Weird Al's UHF. And there's a Christmas scene in the Spatula City commercial. So totally qualifies.
It counts. We're covering it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing an episode on Weird Al with Christmas at Ground Zero with Tim Babb. Uh-huh. So we got to get that scheduled, but we can totally, I'd be down to talk UHF with you. And if Michael wants to join us and make it a Saturday Morning Mafia, you know, make you guys have a four-peat on Raddus Duo, then I'm completely down.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, and I don't necessarily myself subscribe to the standard, but according to my show, that counts and we're going to do it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, talking Christmas movies and what makes a Christmas movie, you know, of course you have the Linus moment.
I know where this is going.
And all that. I just, you know, then you're just splitting hairs after a while. And I accept that my role has ridiculousness in it. I accept it. But at least I can be cut and dry on what is a Christmas movie or not a Christmas movie. You know.
Right.
And I know me and you differ on Die Hard. But
well, not my show doesn't. My show agrees with you.
So. No, your show doesn't. But you know, I just like the cut and dry, and I just kind of ended the debate. And like I said, I know there's silliness that goes with it, and but you know, there's always room around the Christmas tree. So
I agree, and I think there's it opens up a whole lot of more content, especially in the 80s. Because there's, you know, there's not like, you think about the big movies, there's like what, Scrooge, The Christmas Story, Christmas Vacation, Gremlins.
Yeah.
Like there's not a whole lot in the 80s. So at least for movies, I can cover more because of this, you know, that particular point of view. In fact, I just noticed there's a Santa hanging on the closet in the behind Peter Falk in The Princess Bride.
Yep.
So now that opens it up for me to cover that as well.
Inconceivable.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, that's the thing. I can't remember if it was your podcast or another one we were doing, but I had like 1984, which was when Gremlins came out. It was like the only Christmas movie that came out that year, and it came out in June.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. But it was, and that's pretty common. Yeah.
Yeah. And Die Hard was a March release, maybe? Something like that.
I want to say it was also June, but it could be March. I don't remember.
I know it was not the holiday season.
Right.
You know, I know it wasn't a holiday season release. I don't believe the first, you know, Lethal Weapon was a holiday season release either. But, you know, of those, you know, Gremlins is the most, like, legit at Christmas time movie.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, Die Hard is too because of the Christmas party and stuff. But but then released in June because I remember going to see Gremlins at the theater and then going to play a little league baseball game that afternoon, you know.
Nice.
But didn't think nothing about it.
I saw Ghostbusters and Gremlins as a double feature and I was completely scared out of my mind from Ghostbusters with the library scene.
Yeah.
So I remember like hiding, for, you know, averting my eyes for most of it. Mm-hmm. Gremlins, Gizmo was super cute. And then I fell asleep. So I don't know if I really saw it, but you know.
Yeah.
Ken wants to know if Pee Wee Herman had a Christmas episode. Yeah. There was a Christmas special. Okay. One thing that I didn't do that I started doing at the very tail end of season two was adding clips into it. I started splicing clips and sound effects, something I wanted to do from the beginning, but never did. And so I'm slowly going back and re-editing those old episodes. I did just finish re-editing, especially after Paul, after his death. Paul Rubin's death. So I re-edited that one. So you can listen to the full Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas special episode as well. And it's on my website, of course. But yeah, I know what you mean. And I think what you were talking about was it was Two Truths and a Lie, the 80s edition from Christmas Past. And you and I were the guests. And the first time I lost so badly. And the second time I kind of cheated a little bit and won. So...
Well, that's what you got to do. You got to
cheat. The only way I could win. Yeah. I lost so bad. I had to make up for it somehow.
Yeah. It was it cheating? You played within the rules.
You know. Kind of. Yeah. So. But I'm like Captain Kirk. I don't believe in the unwinnable situation, you know, the unwinnable scenario. So if someone asked me to like name five things, I'm going to name 10 because it's a, you know, it's a Kobayashi Maru situation. Yeah. So.
All right. Well then let me ask you this. Then what is your very favorite Christmas thing from the 80s?
So it's probably Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
That, as soon as we, I mean, as far as like media, as soon as it like Christmas season happens, I have to watch Christmas Vacation or it just doesn't feel like Christmas.
Right.
That's one of those, you know, and it's in my top three. It's either number one, two or three, depending on my mood actually. Mm-hmm. So even during a December month, it can actually kind of fluctuate. It's between Home Alone and, Scrooged as well. And so, but that one, it's just, you get all the feels. And now that I'm a dad, I totally get what Clark was trying to do.
Yeah.
And it just hits hard, a little bit harder. So that's probably it. But if it's something personal, it would probably be decorating the tree. No, it would probably be actually Christmas caroling with my family.
Yeah.
And we would go door to door singing just my mom's favorite carols and different ones for different houses. And then they usually invite us in and give us hot chocolate and or apple cider or something like that. So that's probably my most favorite thing from the 80s, but that's a little more personal.
Yeah. Veronica's saying that Roku channel has Newhart.
Oh, awesome. And that's Newhart, not the Bob Newhart show.
So
that's awesome. We'll have to check it out.
We'll have to check it out. And so stay tuned for 2024. There may be a new podcast.
For real.
Just what we need, Jerry, something else to do.
I know we got to pre-record them though because I'm recording like a madman now. It'd be fun.
Absolutely. But, I know the answer to this. I've heard it before, but for those that maybe not, what was your favorite gift you ever received at Christmas in the 80s?
Yeah, I think I've said this on several different shows, but it's definitely Castle Grayskull. That it was Christmas of 84, and it was one of the coolest things I've ever gotten. I just, you know, waking up Christmas morning, running to the tree, and there it was, just sitting under the tree. And I opened it up, and there was a couple of He-Man figures as well. There was, I think, Man-at-Arms was there, and Faker, and few others, and it was just it was amazing. And I still have it. It's sitting about 3 feet from me right over there actually. And my kids played with it. Uh-huh. And it was the most amazing gift, and so I've never forgotten that one. I did get Voltron the next year in 85, and that was super cool. It was not the plastic one, but the die cast metal. Uh-huh. But it's still just it still wasn't quite as good as Castle Grayskull. So.
Yeah, something about that He-Man Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it hit at the right age,
right?
With the right toys, with the right, you know, kind of sensation with the cartoons and stuff, and I got Castle Grayskull too, and it's still at my mom's, and all her grandkids and have played with it, you know. Still, you know, my kids and my sister's kids and stuff. And it's just something about that He-Man, you know, and even G.I. Joe and Transformers. I had those, but just something about that He-Man Christmas was just extra magical, you know?
Yeah. And well, and it's a playset too, right? I mean, it's, it's like your figures go in it. So, I don't know. It's just, and it looked cool. It's like the skull castle and, but yeah, just sitting under the Christmas tree. And we didn't have like a huge tree. It was just a little cheapy one, you know, because my parents were teachers and couldn't afford a lot. But yeah, knowing that Santa brought that to me, it was just, it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just something about it. And I remember getting, Trap Jaw and being super excited, you know.
He was cool because you could change his arm out with like the gun or the clamp or the hook. Yeah. It's good stuff.
It is super. Did you ever get a dud Christmas gift in the 80s?
Probably. I don't want to say who, because you know, I don't want to put anyone on blast if they end up watching it, but there was a relative that usually would just get like a Tonka truck or something, just a you know, a little plastic truck, which would have been cool if I was like two or three, but when you're like six and you've already at this point, He-Man and Voltron have come out and Mask, you know, Transformers, it wasn't quite as impactful.
Yeah.
So, never really anything dud from Santa. He always kind of seemed to know exactly what we wanted. You know, of course we'd write to him, but
I know.
So, unnamed relative, I apologize.
I don't want to say it ungrateful, but one year Santa brought me Voltron, but it was the Cars Voltron and not the Lions Voltron.
Oh no, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. That's harsh.
It was rough. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't even know it existed.
You had to specify.
Yeah. Well, it was probably the only one that you could find, you know, kind of like
probably
on the Jingle All the Way, how you can get Brewster, but you can't get Turbo Man, you know.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I loved the cartoon of the Lion Voltron. Mm-hmm. I never saw the Vehicle Voltron cartoon, but I hear it's good. So it was cool. I understand.
See, yeah. I mean, I liked Voltron. I didn't see a lot of it. We didn't have cable growing up. So what I got to see of it was like after school at my grandparents' house, you know, if I actually got control of the TV. I think I might have seen like one episode with the Cars, maybe.
Right.
It seems like it's familiar, but I've seen so many clips and like little mini documentaries on YouTube about all that stuff. I can't remember if I actually saw it there or if I, you know, just remember seeing clips or something, you know, and things. But yeah. Well, Jerry, I need your reaction for something. For those listening, we have the Essential Christmas Music Playlist that I put together this year, and you helped me with some of it, best I remember. And I got a few more songs to add. Now, I have been adding them to the playlist the night before, and then when I was leaving work today, I realized I didn't add the songs to the playlist last night. Uh-oh. So I will add them when we're done here. I will go ahead and add them to the playlist as soon as this episode is over. But let's take a look at this list. For those that maybe don't know, this is just a list. This is I went through and wrote and collected as many Christmas songs as I could and only picked out the ones that were essential. Now, each song could have up to two different people singing it. The example I always give is White Christmas. You have Bing Crosby, you have the Drifters. That's the only White Christmas you get, you know, but there's no limit on the artists or anything like that. So, every episode from now till the week to the episode before Thanksgiving, I will release a group of songs in it. That way the list is you know, the playlist is complete going into the big holiday season. So with this group, we have Silver Bells with Dean Martin, 2000 Miles, The Pretender, Santa Tell Me, Ariana Grande, Step Into Christmas, Elton John, Is That You, Santa Claus, Louis Armstrong, Blue Christmas, Elvis Presley, Cool Yule, Louis Armstrong, Up on the Rooftop, Gene Autry, and All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey. And that's the list. All singles this time, two Louis Armstrongs. All these songs were pulled randomly from the list, so that, you know, I don't want this to be a ranking. It's a list. So, Jerry, what do you think of this group of songs for Essential Christmas?
2000 Miles is a fantastic song. And for me, on my show, I think it's essential. I don't know if I'd say it's essential in general, but I really like the song, so I'm glad it's there. Elton John, I feel like that's one you have to have just because terrestrial radio plays it a million times an hour, like every year.
Yeah.
Same thing with All I Want for Christmas Is You. That, I mean, at this point, like it has to be on, yeah, right?
It's a juggernaut of a song.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I do like Gene Autry's version of Up on the Housetop. Is That You, Santa Claus by, I think I'm more familiar with Buster Poindexter's version.
Okay.
Than I am with, Louis Armstrong, but I still love the song. So I'm good with that. Blue Christmas, Elvis Presley, again, that's like a powerhouse.
Yeah.
You heard it all the time on the radio. You know, back when people listened to the radio.
Yeah.
Cool Yule by Louis Armstrong. Okay. Let's see, Santa Tell Me. Yeah, I hear that one a lot too at work. That's on the radio and Silver Bell. That's a solid list. I mean, the only one that I might not have essential in general is Cool Yule and 2000 Miles. All the rest I think are 1,000,000% essential. But those two, you know, like I said, 2000 Miles, I love for the 80s. You got to have it. Cool Yule, actually, I like a completely different song called Cool Yule by the Rebel Pebbles that I think is is worthy of being like on the top everything Christmas list. But it never gets any play. It was like released once, you know, and but yeah, I mean, this is a great list. Yeah. I can't argue with it.
Yeah. See, that was the thing about doing the essentials. It's like I had to put myself in the mindset of lots of different people from different walks of life.
Right.
Because if I made an essential Christmas playlist for myself, there would be a lot of overlap, but there would be a lot of songs that would be different as well.
Right.
And so trying to make a list that everybody can listen to and be like, yep, that's my song. That's my song. Mm-hmm. That's my song. And then maybe I'm not familiar with that one, but it's on this list. I'll listen and then maybe they'll adopt it, you know, kind of thing. So it was a struggle. It was a lot of fun, but it was a struggle to get it put together. But and fortunately every week's, and I think it'll continue every week, has been a solid list. And and that's just kind of the nature of it. But it's going to end up being 120 songs in total.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And, that's good.
That counts. The ones that are doubled up. We don't have any doubles this week, but that's just random. You know, that was just the randomness of selecting them. And like I said, right. I didn't add these to the playlist yet. I've been trying to do that on Tuesdays, but I forgot last night. I guess I got off work too late, but
it happens.
Yeah, it happens. So Jerry, thanks for joining me. Let everybody know where they can find you and Totally Rad Christmas.
Yeah, well, the easiest place is totallyradchristmas.com. It's got links to everywhere. It's even got an About Us section where you're listed as one of the all-stars as well. But yeah, totallyradchristmas.com. You can find me any place that you can listen to podcasts, you know, except Stitcher, because that's not around anymore. And so I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Totally Rad Christmas, Twitter at Rad Christmas, Blue Sky at radchristmas.bsky.social, I'm on Mastodon at totallyradchristmas.mastodon.world, but I never really use it. And I do have a Facebook group. So it's a Totally Rad Christmas Mall and Arcade, where if you guys want to throw something Christmas or 80s related on, you know, it's cool with me as long as it's not vulgar or obscene. I'm around. Yeah. And apparently I'm on everybody's show at some point. So you can find me on other podcasts as well.
The links to Jerry will be, they are down in the description here on YouTube, and they are, will be in the show notes of the podcast episode as well. That way you guys are just a tap away. So Jerry, again, thank you for joining me here on Christmas Clatter. For those listening to the podcast, I really appreciate you taking time to listen to me and Jerry just kind of talk about some fun Christmas stuff and hang out. We really appreciate it. If you ever get the chance to hop over and catch us live on YouTube on a Wednesday night, we'd love to see you over there as we try to make the best Christmas community on the internet, on YouTube that we can. And for those in the chat that are watching this now, stay put. Once I end this, we'll have a little Q&A. If you have a question for Jerry, go ahead and put it in the comments. But until I see you guys next time, remember, keep Christmas hope alive every day.